This is episode 6, The One with the Butt, with Mary of Harrington. Hey guys, and welcome to I Have No Friends. I'm your host, Leandra Ryan, and each week I'll be taking you through an episode of Friends while providing comedic commentary through the eyes of the modern millennial female. My guest today is actor-writer Mary of Harrington. You may know her as Betty from How I Met Your Mother, and she was recently nominated for an Emmy for her work on Disney Channel's Big City Greens. Welcome.
Hi, Leandra. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So we just watched episode 6,
And
I'm excited to get into it with you. But first, what I like to do at the very top is throw out a fun fact that I found about the episode, a piece of trivia.
Oh.
Yeah, so apparently this is the first episode that features the Rachel haircut, which of course became a cultural sensation. What I didn't know was apparently Jennifer Aniston initially hated that haircut.
Really?
That's what I saw online.
Fun fact, I just got my hair cut last week, and if I don't like style it, it naturally falls into the Rachel. Like when I dried it for the first time, you know, when you first like get home from the salon and you're like, oh, my first like blow dry, I was like, huh, I don't hate it, but it kind of looks like the Rachel.
Yeah.
Like this thought literally went through my head on Saturday. Like, what was her cut like before then?
It was just kind of like
just like
long.
Straight and oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And like the first few episodes she just has sort of like generally long like 90s hair.
Oh.
But it wasn't anything like really.
Because I equate 90s hair with being the Rachel.
Yeah.
I guess that was like more early 2000s. When did it start?
This is 94.
Oh my God. That was a long time ago.
25 years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was Does it make you feel old? It makes me feel old.
I'll tell you what made me feel old. I was at the premiere of Toy Story 4 yesterday, and that's 24 years ago.
24 years ago from the original Toy Story?
Yes, I know. Do you feel old now?
Yes,
I know. It's bad.
I do.
It's real bad.
Oh, my God.
Tom Hanks still looks amazing, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's not about Tom Hanks, but point is, I know, it's kind of crazy, 25 years.
Yeah. So I thought that was a very interesting.
That is a very interesting fact.
Yeah.
And the haircut still lives on my head.
Oh my gosh. I would love to see it. You have your hair in a bun right now.
There's a reason it's up. Because I don't want to admit that I have the Rachel right now, but I kind of do.
Well, 90s fashion is back. So I feel like, why can't the Rachel be back?
It is. I just feel like the Rachel is still around, but like it kind of looks like the mom cut now. A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's not, I don't know. It's not like those cool 90s jeans, which I definitely can't pull off, but
High-waisted, you mean? The high-waisted
like
jeans?
Like the high-waisted, but they're also like looser.
Like
I don't
mom
know.
Jeans?
Kind of.
Yeah.
But then you have to be like a real, you have to have a real cool haircut in order to pull those off. You can't be wearing those jeans with my hair, otherwise it's like, well, where's your army of children? I don't know. That's my thought about it.
Hot takes.
Yes.
Hot takes by Miriam.
Yes.
Very cool. All right, the next thing that I like to do is I have this old trivia book.
I was wondering what that was.
Yes.
On your chair over there.
It's my secret weapon. So I will ask you a random trivia question from the season.
Uh-oh.
So.
Was being an expert on this a prerequisite? Because I
failed. No.
Okay, good.
No.
Okay. Oh, boy.
It's just fun.
All right. I hate failing tests.
Yeah. No, it's okay. It's not a test.
I'm
going
to fail. Mm-hmm. It, okay, go on.
Know, okay. Choose a number between 1 and 182.
64.
What happened when Joey's girlfriend set Chandler up on a blind date?
When Joey's girlfriend, I don't know.
I actually don't think I know this either. Let me look this up. It's one of those things where you have to look up the answer in the back of the book.
Oh, uh-huh.
Because this book was made in 2003. So
I was going to say, talk about vintage. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a vintage book here. So 64, let's see.
I feel like when you have like textbooks about the thing that you're podcasting about, it's like, whoa, this is...
I didn't
official.
Buy this, though, for the record. This was a gift.
Was a gift?
This was a gift.
Seems like a sweet gift.
Oh, I do remember this. But I have an issue with this question because it's super, this question is like super vague.
Okay.
So the answer was, it turned out to be Janice.
Oh, so it's not really what happened. It's like, who?
Yeah.
What like iconic character was he? Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a sketchy question.
Yeah. You know, she like doesn't sound like that in real life.
Really?
Maggie Wheeler, the actress who plays that. Yeah. We were at the same voiceover agency for a while. And so we'd see each other in the lobby all the time. Really delightful woman.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that's totally, like, I mean, same thing with like, you know, the Karen Walker voice.
I was
voice,
just going to say,
right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's definitely there as like a baseline, but it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you want to go more extreme, like Wilmer Valderrama in That 70s Show.
Fran Drescher's voice is basically like that.
Yeah,
right?
I think
so. That's not really put on.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah.
Good for her for making a whole career on that, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's like the dream recur right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, now a personal question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Which Friends character are you?
Well, after watching that episode, I was like, I'm Monica.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I hate, there's just like no way around it.
Yeah.
You know, especially, so my husband and I are in the process of moving.
Mm-hmm.
And we were kind of like, not staging, but kind of like tidying up our place before having open houses. And he had all these opinions that I didn't expect him to have, where I was like, I'm sorry, what? You want things done your way? And I was like, no, but it has to be done my way or I will implode. And so watching that episode, I was like, yeah, that's me. Shoot.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
What would you categorize yourself as?
I think I'm a combo of Monica, Rachel, and Chandler. Because I'm like a sarcastic asshole like Chandler.
I wouldn't say asshole.
But I'm sarcastic.
He's also, yeah.
But I'm also type A.
Yeah, I guess I would say like Monica and Ross. I'm very dorky also.
Oh, okay. So you're just the Geller Maybe. Sandwich.
I think, yeah, I'm of the Geller lineage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Long lost Geller's sister.
Yeah. Possibly.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, now that everyone knows everything about you.
Uh-huh.
Let's get into the storylines that are happening in this episode. The first one, I think, is... Chandler with Aurora,
mm-hmm.
sort of getting caught up in this polyamorous kind of situation with this woman. And then there's Joey playing Al Pacino's butt double
mm-hmm.
in the movie. And then there's Monica, you know, struggling with her friends calling her out on
who she is.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. she's trying to convince everyone that she is, quote unquote, a kook.
Right.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I feel like I've heard recently that that term is mildly racist.
What is that about?
I have no idea. I feel like I overheard a conversation about this. I could be making this up, but I feel like I need to look it up. In the same way that, like, did you know that nitty gritty is a racist term? Anyway.
No.
This just took a left term. Sorry.
No, that's okay. It's.
But yeah, I feel like I had heard that, but I can't remember for the life of me what the explanation was. Check the show notes if there are some. Follow up with the official research on it.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, any initial thoughts or reactions to Chandler's storyline with Aurora?
I mean, I just kind of felt like, given that this is 25 years ago, I was like, good for them for like having, you know, a woman who was like sexually liberated and being like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Because when it first started, I was like, ugh, when they were all kind of eyeing her across the room, I'm going, oh boy. Like, there was recently, like, the wedding planner with, what's her name, Jennifer Lopez, was on TV the other day.
Oh.
And it's like, wow, that does not hold up some of the stuff. And so I was thinking, like, this is going to be like that, where you have kind of cringy, sexist things that have changed a lot in those years. I don't know. I was like, good for you guys.
Yeah, I thought it was very ahead of its time, like, mm-hmm. as far as polyamory is like a thing now. Like, it's like sort of common.
I mean, I don't know. I've been married for 100 years.
Yeah, no, but like, well, I dated this guy one time and for a very brief amount of time. And then he was like, yeah, so I'm polyamorous. And like, I met this guy and like, you know, if it's cool with you. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is not cool with me. Like,
oh, wait, sorry. He said I met this guy?
Yeah, he was like.
Oh, well, that's a whole other angle. Because she was like, okay, yeah, well.
Yeah, so he like told me that he was polyamorous. And I was like, weird. And then, not to like judge anyone who is, but
it wasn't, it's not it for wasn't me. The right partner for you.
It's not for me. And then he was like, yeah, so I like met this guy at a rave. And I like want to see where things go with him. And I was like, this is a lot for me, I think.
To take all at once.
Yeah, I think this is a no for me.
Do you think
no
he would have reacted differently if he'd been like, I met another woman?
I still don't think I would have been cool with it, but I think that I probably would have just, I think it would have been less shocking for me.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
What if he was like, I met this woman and like, I'm really drawn to her sort of like intellectually. She's a strong, like, do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like there's a couple things going on here, right? And the reasons you were like, no, for sure not. You're like, one, it's a man. And so I don't think so. Two, it was like, I met him at a rave.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's like, oh, I met this woman in the boardroom. She's really like my intellectual equal. I think you guys would get along great. Like, I feel like that might be a different conversation. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, this guy also was like on drugs. There was a lot going on.
Cool.
So I was like, you know what? This isn't, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good on this.
And scene.
Yeah. And then like a month later, he apparently decided that he didn't want to be polyamorous anymore and that he wanted to be with me. So he showed up at my improv show and told me this.
Wow. Well, that's how you know somebody like is into you, because let's be clear, nobody wants to go to anybody's improv show in Los Angeles.
No.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Because unless it's a Herald team or it's like a main company show at Groundlings, it's probably going to be bad news.
Yeah. Improv's tough.
It's tough. Yeah. You know, even... That is no judgment on you. I'm saying that to myself, my own improv shows as well. I'm just saying that is a delightful move on his part.
Yeah. I mean, the answer was still no, but.
Well,
you know,
yeah, because it's
we
like.
Have nothing in common.
Well, and also if you change your mind that quickly, it's like.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to expect tomorrow?
Yeah.
Like.
He was a lot.
Pick a lane.
I'm just. Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm just saying that's my only experience with polyamory.
Sure.
But according to this guy, it's like a thing that people do. It's somewhat common.
That they can flip
nowadays.
On and off?
No, just that like polyamory is a thing.
Huh.
Yeah, but I think it's more of a thing now than it was in 1994.
Or maybe it's just one of these things where, because it's not like, you know, transgender people weren't around then. It's just more talked about.
Yeah.
Unacceptable, maybe.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cool that they showed that in 1994.
I completely agree.
On NBC, too.
Yeah, it's true.
You know?
Yeah, 100%. Because, when it first started, they were like, oh, do you see that beautiful woman over there? I was like, oh, God, they're going to treat her like a piece of meat. And then she was the alpha in that relationship. So I was like, that's very cool.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know if you caught this, like, there was, like, a reference to Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, like, later in the series, Chandler, like, acts like he's moving to Yemen to get rid of Janice.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. That's right.
And I was like, oh, what a, like, subtle, like...
nod to that. Well, yeah, right.
Yeah. I thought that
was
cool.
existing in that character's headspace
mm-hmm.
already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right.
Yemen references.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, how did you feel about how Chandler handled the whole situation?
You know, I kind of saw it coming a million miles away.
Sure.
In terms of, like, I thought it was really sweet that he was just like, yeah, I'm this dude who's going to be totally fine with this just sex angle. And it's like, well, of course, then you're going to be like, no, but I just want to be with you, you mm-hmm. know? So I didn't think there was anything terribly surprising about it, though I did think it was sweet.
I thought it was super relatable because I've totally done that. I've totally been like, yeah, I'm cool with this just being like a friends with benefits thing. And then like 3 weeks later, I'm like, yeah, I'm not cool with this.
No.
Like,
your heart gets involved.
Yeah. I acted like I was cool. I'm not actually cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I think very few people are actually cool with that kind of situation. I
think
there's usually
I would
agree. Like one person who's like, oh, I wish this was more, you know.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah.
I just think... I don't know. I guess like science says, like, we're not wired to be in the types of relationships we're in that are long term and committed. And yet, I don't know. I feel like everybody wants like that love and security on some level.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I've been out of the dating game for so long. I was like, got in late, got out early.
How long have you been married?
6 years, but I've been with him for 10.
Wow.
Yeah. I married my third boyfriend. I was like, let's be done with dating. Like, I don't want to do this. I'm not good at it. So let's just lock this up mm-hmm. and move forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's working out.
He's very, very tall.
He is very tall. Mm-hmm. That's always what people are just like. I'm sorry. You said he's how tall? They're like, did you say 6'8"? I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah. In my defense. It's not like I have a thing for like gigantic men. It's just that like he was a receptionist when I first met him. So for the first year of knowing him, so I've known him for 11 years actually, he was seated. I'd never seen him stand.
That's hilarious.
You know, people are like, oh, are you just like really into tall guys? I'm like, no, I had no idea how tall he was. He was the guy behind the desk, you know?
Yeah. And you're petite.
Yeah, I'm 5'1.5".
Yes.
And I'm claiming that half inch.
Yeah. No, you should.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think officially on my resume it says 5'2". So, because like if I stand really tall, mm-hmm. if I'm going to Pilates a lot recently and I'm feeling very yeah. elongated spine.
Yeah. Elongated.
Yeah. Yeah. Then I can get 5'2". But it's not real.
Yeah.
It's not real. It's lies. Don't believe anything on the internet.
Well, the real talk is here.
That's right.
This is the reliable source.
Yes, of all information. Friends related, polyamory, yes. Analysis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very good. I have a clip.
Hi. okay, next word would be Chandler. Chandler is my name, and hi.
Yes, you said that.
Yes, yes, I did. But what I didn't say was what I was about to say. What I wanted to say was, would you like to go out with me sometime? Thank you. Good night.
Chandler?
He's so cute.
He is cute.
He's so sweet.
It also sounds like me anytime I'm like trying to do any manner of business. I'm like, I am trying to be this strong female running a business. But wait, what I meant to say was, Very sweet.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, like if I was in the dating game still and like a guy came up like that, it'd be such a nice sort of change from, I feel like, the douchebaggery of mm-hmm. general Los Angeles.
Yeah. Well, and now there's negging, which is like a whole thing.
Wait, what does that mean?
Negging.
What is that?
So it's this new thing that men are doing that they think is working where they insult you.
What?
They do like backhanded compliments, you know?
Oh, no.
Or like stuff like that. Just like subtle insults. Like,
what?
Yeah. And they think that that is going to make you like want them.
Okay. But is this like, do some women actually like that?
I think it's like it plays on people's insecurities. Like if people are like super insecure, they'll sometimes be like, oh, you're right. I do have split ends or like whatever. And then they'll be like, let's hang out or like whatever. I don't know. I don't think it works that much.
But you said in saying that much, you feel like it works to some degree.
I think that unfortunately it might work on some people. I don't know. I don't have like.
Oh, it sounds terrible.
Data. It's terrible.
Don't you want the person you're with to just like lift you up?
Yeah. You would think.
That everything you do is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. That's what you would think. Yeah. So. That's a thing that's happening.
And it's called negging.
Negging, yes.
Okay, not nagging.
Negging.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Sounds terrible.
It's terrible. Everyone sucks. It's terrible.
Yeah, whatever happened to just like be nice, ask the person out?
Yeah. Boy, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're dealing with now.
Okay.
Nowadays.
Good to know.
So, yeah, it would be nice if a guy just came up and was super genuine.
Yeah. I feel like that's just, you know, when he's very sort of honest about the fact that he thinks you're wonderful.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Anything else about that storyline?
About the Chandler?
Chandler and Aurora. Chandler.
No. She was just like total badass. And, you know, she was very clear about what she wanted and needed and didn't apologize for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And stuck to her guns and didn't feel like she was going to bend to the will of the man.
Yeah.
Which I'm always a fan of.
Yeah. Even when he like broke up with her, she was like, okay, well, call me if you change your mind.
Yep.
You know, not in like a bitchy way, but just like, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to stand my ground.
But it's easier to do that when you have three men in the wings.
I guess so. That's true. That's true.
You know.
That's true. And if you're a gorgeous Italian.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I'm not.
Yeah. You're a gorgeous redhead, though.
Oh, you're sweet. Just right. A gorgeous blonde and redhead that you can't see.
You can't see right us. Now. No, but you can find us on the internet and stalk us if you want.
I mean, maybe don't stalk us. Just like politely engage with our content.
Yeah. Engage. Yeah. Just like our posts and stuff.
That's right. In a non-creepy, non-negging way.
Yes. Yes, that is the lesson for the day.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on to Joey's storyline with Al Pacino's butt.
I have a lot to say about this.
Go for it.
I mean, first of all, I admire him for doing that thinking about the anxiety of his character, because I disagree with James Burrows. I think you can see anxiety everywhere in a character, even their butt. I do. So I think, James Burrows, you're wrong. But also still hire me. But no, I just feel like as an actor, like him trying to do too much with such a little part is just like something you hear all the time of mm-hmm. like actors going in and it's like a tiny, like it's a co-star thing and they try and make a meal out of a snack. So good actor lesson also from that storyline.
Don't make a meal out of it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I agree on the butt clenching. I, you know, whenever I play like a type A character,
it affects your whole body.
Yeah. I like to clench my asshole.
Okay.
To
like, is it, do you feel like you say that in like, that's part of your process of like tight out, like I'm going to consciously tighten.
Yes.
My butt. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's not something where you just like you're inhabiting that character sort of just like on a subconscious level. And then you notice that you are.
Sometimes I'll just notice, but if I get a note of like, hey, like be more uptight or like more, you know,
that's where
anxious or yeah, whatever
you put it.
I just clench my asshole and they're okay. Like, that was great.
Oh, there you go. And it's like a quick fix for it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I just lean into it if I ever get that note, which I don't because I always lean with too much uptight. It's just like, oh, I'll just be more myself. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Acting tips, people, take notes.
That's right. That's right. I mean, they do that whole thing at the Groundlings where they're like, you know, somebody who leads with their, mm-hmm. or if you're tightening your arms, what kind of character is that? So,
yeah,
he's not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He is not wrong. Also, I appreciated his character's like optimism that this role could be the start of anything, you know? And it's like,
yeah,
we all have those like those jobs that we thought weren't going to be anything. And then it. You like went in there just like grateful and ready to work and it turned into something bigger.
Yeah.
You know,
or you meet someone and 10 years
that's
later,
right.
That
that's
person's
right.
like, hey, are you into this thing? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I loved that. I loved James Burrows being the director.
The director.
Although he didn't actually direct that episode of Friends.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah. But that guy looks exactly the same. Don't you feel like he looks the same 25 years later?
Well, yeah, it's kind of like Morgan Freeman. Like, I feel like Morgan Freeman, like, walked out of the womb, mm-hmm. like, you know, as an infant, looking mm-hmm. like a whatever. like, in his 60s, 70s now?
He's in his 70s.
Yeah. Like, Driving Miss Daisy was the first movie I ever saw in theaters, and I swear to God, he looks exactly the same.
Yeah. There are some people that just, they don't change.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is great. Good for them.
Yeah.
You know?
It'd be nice if you could kind of like reverse that where like it wasn't that you were always old but that you were always young. Although I feel like Christie Brinkley's got that like on lock.
Mm-hmm.
It was in New York not that long ago and she's in I think Chicago right now.
Oh cool.
The play in New York.
Yeah.
And she's like 63 or something and she looks like she's 42.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
She's made a deal with the devil somehow.
Yeah, and then in the shower scene, another fun fact, if you look closely, the shadow of like Joey's body,
mm-hmm.
he's clearly wearing like baggy shorts.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this something you found on the internet or something that you noticed?
I found it on the internet and then I looked and it was true.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, you think they would have put him in a Speedo or something.
Yeah, you would think. Hmm. I don't know if he was just like, no, or like... Or if they just didn't notice it.
Huh. Well, it's funny. Like, one thing that I did notice is, like, the aerial shots of the city It's like those, they must have taken them from like a helicopter or something because it's like so shaky.
Don't you think they're probably just like stock footage or no?
I just assumed they like sent a helicopter up like one time, got the footage and then used it for the whole series. I could be wrong. You just think they like they put like a photo in front of the thing and like like waved it? I guess that could be true.
No, I think it's like, I mean, I don't know what they had in 94, but now you have like Pond 5.
Yeah, of course.
Like,
yeah.
You know, there's stock footage of like every city and like anything you could ever want is like, you can buy it for like $25.
Well, I guess like, I thought Pond 5 was only music, no?
No, they have video.
Oh, wow.
They have all kinds of stuff.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Good to know.
I am not affiliated with Pond 5, but
should they want you to sponsor, should they want to be a sponsor of this episode, I'm sure you would accept a sponsorship.
Guys, get in touch.
That's right. Yeah, interesting. I don't know. I just noticed it was very, very, was just not a steady shot of it where I was like, whoa.
Interesting.
No image stabilization on that?
Yeah. It's also like trippy to watch like these older episodes and see like they show like the skyline of New York and it has the Twin Towers in it.
Yeah.
It's all still there.
Yeah. All like, what was I watching? Like a movie that was set in New York and it's like, oh yeah.
Those were the days.
I know. And now it's like movies like of Paris and Notre Dame Cathedral. Like that's going to be different now too.
Yeah. Oh my God. Whoa. I was so sad. I was so sad when that happened. I studied abroad in Paris. So
really? I knew that. That's right.
Yeah. I used to walk by Notre Dame every day on my way to class.
So it's insane to think that it survived two world wars.
Mm-hmm.
And just like rando fire.
Yeah.
Crazy.
But they got like most of the statues out. They did you read that?
No, I knew that they got like a gazillion dollars from people to rebuild it.
Yeah. But. So like most of the like statues and artifacts and stuff that were in there had been taken out like a week earlier.
What?
Yeah, because the whole thing was it was under construction. Like it was being renovated.
Right.
So they took a bunch of stuff out to make space for the renovations.
Ah.
So a lot of the stuff that was in there was preserved, which is really cool.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yeah. I love the toward the end of the episode when he comes in and he tells them that he was fired and Phoebe's whole thing about like, oh, just think of, you know, someday someone's going to be like so excited to like play your butt. And I was like, that is the sweetest thing. Like,
she's very sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, they all are. Of course, they're like kind of, you know, making fun of him for having the part in the first place. But then they all... That's the thing. I mean, that's why the show ran for so long. It's just they had such good chemistry and you believed these people as friends and they were never like really mean to him.
Yeah. I mean, they're and it's like it's funny with the play, too, because like they're all at the play, which is great. But then they're like shitting on the play.
But they showed up, which in LA is really hard to get people to do.
Yeah.
So
they showed up.
Mm-hmm. Good friends.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
In a tiny theater.
Yeah. Have you ever been fired from a job, an acting job?
Not on camera. I was replaced on an animated series 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Four episodes in because they decided they wanted a raspier voiced girl, which was strange because there were two co-leads of the show. And the guy had a raspy voice, too. So I was like, and we were supposed to be like 9 years old. And I was like, do you feel like all 9 year olds are like smokers? Like, why all this rasp? But I guess they wanted an edgier sound. They were like, well, this is too clean. And it sucked.
Yeah.
I was really counting on one, that money. But two, like, it was a cool show. Then the show ended up getting completely canned. And we'll never see the light of day. So, turns out I didn't miss on that much. So yeah, okay. How about you? Did you ever get fired?
I got, like, not officially fired, but I got not asked back on a stand-in job.
Okay. Did they ever give reasons? Or they were just like, no.
That's why it was annoying.
Yeah, right.
I was like, at least I just want to know.
Yeah.
So, have you ever been cut, like, from the final?
Oh, 100, yeah. 100 million times, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, me too. So, I feel like, you know, he's all, like, I'm assuming this is the first time Joey has gotten fired, and I'm like, dude.
But to be clear, any actors who are like starting out maybe and listening to this, there is a difference between getting fired because you did something wrong and getting cut for time.
Absolutely.
And because like your thing wasn't like as critical or there was something crazy with the shot or whatever, like that doesn't have anything to do with your performance.
Yeah. No, I mean, for sure. But I feel like I feel like this is like a rite of passage for Joey, because I feel like you're not a real actor until you've been fired.
Yeah.
And or
sure.
cut.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. that was relatable for
Very
sure.
Relatable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. I have a clip.
This is a real movie and Al Pacino's in it. And that's big.
Oh, no, it's terrific. It's you know, you deserve this. After all your years of struggling, you've finally been able to crack your way into show.
Okay, fine. Make jokes. I don't care. This is a big break for me.
No, you're right. You're right. It is.
Yeah.
So you're going to invite us all to the big opening?
Poor Joey.
Oh, Joey's working so hard. Working his butt off.
It's so interesting because he doesn't really have many, like, I mean, throughout the series, he doesn't have very many, like, actor friends.
It's true.
You know? Like, yeah. These are his friends. Which is so interesting because I feel like in real life you have so many actor friends.
So many actor friends. You can't go to an audition without seeing like 10 people you know.
Yeah,
which is
for
actually
sure.
great. I was thinking about this the other day. It was like a commercial callback, I think. And I saw like 4 people there whom I knew. And everybody was genuinely like, not that fake LA thing of like, nice to see you. Like, I hope you get it. No, mm-hmm. but people were like, break a leg in there. And it's like, you know, because there's this understanding of, I think after, I feel like maybe people were cattier kind of like when I'd first gotten here, they were newer relationships. But now people have just like hung in there. It's mm-hmm. just like, listen, if it's not mine, like I hope it goes to you. Mm-hmm. I hope it goes to somebody like from the tribe, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
It was just lovely.
Yeah. There are these 2 girls in my acting class. And they're like the same age and they're like best friends. They look exactly the same.
Oh, that's funny.
So
where
they,
do you study?
At Leslie Kahn.
Uh-huh.
And so they like, they'll come in and they'll be like, yeah, so we're pinned for the same role. And like, you know, but
no
they're,
way.
Yeah, but that happens to them all the time. And they're like best friends. It's so cute.
That's so, really sweet.
Yeah. So they said the same thing. They were like, well, if I don't get it, you know, I'd rather be you.
Do they have
than,
a
like,
different vibe? Or like,
no,
they're
like the
twin.
Same person.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
But you're right. In real life, he would have more actor friends.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a couple episodes where he, like, dates, you know, he, like, dates that chick that he does the play with.
Right.
Yeah. And then he dates Kathy, who's an actor. They met in acting class.
I'm not, clearly is not as well-versed as knowing the specifics of every episode.
That's okay. It's not a skill. It's just...
I mean,
it's just not having a life.
You just never know when. I mean, clearly it's coming in handy right now because you're making a whole podcast about it.
Yeah, true. Hopefully people will listen.
There you go. Then you'll have like a live, maybe people will be like, oh, and her analysis of this, like, let's have her on like, you know, like TV analysis. You know, there's always like, oh, what am I thinking of? The Soup? Is that still a thing?
Yeah, I don't think it's still a thing, but I know what you're talking about.
See, maybe they need a reboot.
Mm.
See?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I love that you're planting these seeds for me. Like, you've got the Pond 5,
uh-huh.
and you've got the... Yeah, I like
oh,
this.
Oh, I'm always angling for a good business angle. Yeah,
I appreciate
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I did not ask Mariev to plant these seeds for me.
Well,
so
you know.
It's a nice surprise.
Anytime.
All right, you want to move on to the other storyline?
C story?
Yeah.
Do it.
Monica being called out for being type A, for being herself, basically.
Yeah.
And she insists that she's a kook. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Can we not use that word?
I don't know. Like I say, we're going to have to look that up.
Okay. Well, that's the word that they use.
Yes.
So that's the word uh-huh. that I'm going to use.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's not a word that I would use in my everyday language, not because I know
right.
that it's racist, but just
right.
because it's not a word that I use.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so she's trying to convince everyone that she can be, you know, chill,
relaxed
I guess.
About things.
Yeah. She's not fooling anyone.
I'm not as in, like, intimately acquainted with the first 5 episodes, but is she not, like, a total tight ass in those 2?
She totally is. It's just right. that this is the first time I think that they
she
call
realizes
it out.
It?
Mm. That they, like, address it.
Got it.
Yeah.
Is that, to me, it's like we were saying, like, oh, previous line is relatable. I'm like, oh, that's so relatable. Just because I have an opinion about how I want everything done.
Mm-hmm.
And every other way of doing it is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
I'm like that, too, to an extent, I think.
Yeah.
I have opinions. I have pretty strong opinions.
Yeah.
I would say.
I mean, yeah, my poor husband. It's like it's a lot. But hey, I mean, you know, they didn't get into, they really just focused on the fact that she like was difficult and blah, blah, blah. But I'm sure later they get into how it can be a good thing and how they reap the rewards of having like a generally clean home.
Yeah.
Thanks to her, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it was a C story, so they didn't really have enough time to explore it all.
Yeah, they didn't explore it that much.
No, just a good little runner storyline.
Yeah, it's definitely funny. She like poor Rachel thinks that she's like doing something good, cleaning the apartment. And then Monica comes home and is like, you moved the ottoman? You moved the ottoman? You know, like,
yep.
And she like has a panic attack about it. Yeah. And then I love the tag where
the tag is great.
yeah. She's laying awake in bed, like trying to figure out if she's going to go get them. Mm-hmm. Or if she's going to get them and then put them back really early in the morning so no one knows.
See, I'm so normal. Even though she's clearly not.
Yeah.
That show's so well written.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm just thinking about like just the whole structure of it. And it's genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's formulas at their best.
And my goodness, I just love Lisa Kudrow.
Mm-hmm.
She's so lovable. She like doesn't say much in each scene, but... man,
but she has like those nuggets.
She gets, well, I mean, she gets like all the laughs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm such a fan of oh my god, I'm blanking on what was her HBO show, The Comeback.
Yeah.
Oh my god, she's incredible in that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, I gotta rewatch that now that I'm watching this.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I have another clip.
Someone's left a glass on the coffee table. There's no coaster. It's a cold drink. It's a hot day. Little beads of condensation are inching their way closer and closer to the surface of the wood.
Stop it! Oh, my God. It's true. Who am I?
Monica, your mom.
The age-old fear of becoming your mother.
Have you become her yet?
I don't think so.
No?
No.
Do you feel like you've more become your father?
I'm a lot more like my dad.
Yeah.
Than my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is interesting because I was a lot closer to my mom growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point it kind of, I don't know, we're so different.
Mm-hmm.
We're so different.
I think you become like kind of one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. But like, what does your dad do?
He's a lawyer.
What kinds of things would he do that you find yourself doing?
He's definitely like a workaholic. He's very ambitious.
Not like weird little things. Like I feel like I've turned into my father because, you know, we've had a really cold winter spring in LA, right? It's been so cold. And my husband went to turn up the thermostat and I was like, put on a sweater.
Oh my God.
Instead of turning up and I was like, oh my God, I've turned into Gordon. Oh my God.
Gordon.
Because I'm like, I don't want the thermostat. I'm like, oh, the heating bill. I'm like, just put on a sweater. Oh, my God.
There's a commercial about that exact thing. You
Is
know,
there?
All those commercials, what are they for? I think it's Geico, maybe?
Oh, uh-huh.
And it's,
oh,
it's,
yes, you're turning into your parents.
You're turning into your parents. Mm-hmm. There's literally one where he's like, don't touch that thermostat or whatever.
Yep. So accurate.
Yeah.
I'm that person now who's like, there's a light on somewhere deep in the recesses of the house. Go find it. Turn it off because we're not leaving home until it's turned off.
That's my mother.
Yeah.
She's very obsessed with lights being on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lights, energy expenditure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just unnecessary monetary expenditure of any kind.
Mm-hmm. I mean, why waste money?
Right.
Why waste it?
Why waste it? No, but that clip is so true.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so funny. And I love Phoebe with her psycho...
Phoebe with the good runners.
Oh God, yeah. Let's get into some segments. I don't have too many today. One of them that I like to do is a joke that has new meaning as an adult.
Okay.
Because, you know, this, we were kids when this came out.
Yes.
And I, for one, did not get like all the adult humor that I get now. And the only one that I saw in this one, I think, is the cold open with the Freud song.
Uh-huh. That was like...
that it's like a penis joke.
Right, right, right.
I did not get that at all.
Gotcha.
I was like for so many years, I was just like, he sings this like weird song in this play, but like, right, whatever.
And I mean, yeah, and dingle on its own or whatever he said, or dinkle.
Yeah,
I can't remember
like
what he said.
Dinkle.
Like, that's
know.
A funny word, so
yeah.
Even if you didn't know what it was referring to.
And then he had, like, this super thick accent, right. And I was like, I don't know what he's saying.
Right.
But now I'm like, okay, this is all about dick.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the best comedies work on so many levels.
Mm-hmm. Classic penis joke.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Did you see any that...
I don't know. Having, like, not watched it, you know, and been, like, known the specifics of it in... such detail years back, I don't
mm-hmm.
know, there weren't any that I was like,
yeah,
oh, I wouldn't have gotten that
mm-hmm.
when I was younger.
Yeah, another one that I like to do is fuckboy of the episode.
Okay,
I guess it would be Chandler and Aurora.
Yeah, probably Aurora. She was like,
she was kind of a fuckboy. I don't
totally
know,
totally badass.
Yeah, I don't know what the female version of a fuckboy is.
I don't know. A strong female character that
yeah,
you just
I know.
Want to get with?
I don't know. I feel like Chandler was trying to be a fuckboy, but he's not a fuckboy.
No.
He's not.
No. I mean, I guess what's your definition?
A boy that is only good for fucking.
Okay, so not like somebody who you'd be interested. Got it.
Yeah. I guess it was kind of a fuckboy comment when Joey was like, yeah, when I'm going out with a girl, I need to know I'm going out with more people than she is.
Yeah, he was being a jerk there.
Yeah.
Sure.
But, you know, Joey's kind of a fuckboy in general. He's a fuckboy with a heart of gold. But.
Right. And I mean, I actually, because I remember, yeah, I guess I'm more familiar with, like, later seasons, but he definitely was much more of a womanizer. And he just seemed very, like, just sweet in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'd think that, I don't know, if it would have been, like, a good-looking woman, he would have gone after her.
I guess Chandler saw her first.
He was focused on his work. And
he was backstage.
That's right.
He didn't see her until, like, he comes out and Chandler's already talking to her.
Right.
He missed the boat.
So he
was too busy being Freud.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Favorite quote? Does anything pop out at you?
My gosh, you should have told me these before so that I could take notes.
Okay. I should do that, actually. I'm going to do that from now on. I apologize.
Yeah. Oh, that's
but
okay.
But I have one. I'm going to play it for you.
Okay.
Oh, but you know, you always see these really beautiful women with these really nothing guys. You could be one of those guys.
Yes, that's a great quote because she's so sincere.
Yeah, and all the friends are like, yeah, that's you can totally do this. And he's not even offended. He's just like, really? You think I can? Okay. And then he like goes and does it.
I was just surprised they didn't dig into like that. Oh, dude, no, you don't have enough money for that to be true. That's where I expected. That's where I expected the joke to go, and then they were just like, "Oh no, they were done with the joke."
Yeah, yeah. What is? Because that is a thing. I feel like, you know.
Yeah, but again, money is the X factor. Like, okay. It doesn't happen.
You think it's always money?
I mean, or status of some type. I don't know. Maybe I'm cynical. Who knows?
No, I wanna talk about
unless, or I guess the sweet version of it is like. I mean, in L.A., just like a really, really nice guy is hard to come by. So if you're unattractive, but people here are so superficial also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again, I feel like, you know, not to be Debbie Downer over here, but I feel like it has to do with like, is there some kind of like career opportunity here? Or is there some kind of financial security to be had?
Yeah. Maybe he's just really funny.
Yeah.
Or no.
I mean, that would work for me. I think like funny is yeah. the number one thing.
Yeah. Okay.
But I feel like I don't know if that's a majority opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I also don't know where we stand as like a human species because I feel like I just feel like Instagram has changed everything in terms of and like I was reading an article about how just the culture of swipe right, swipe left has changed fundamentally like the whole. It was an anthropologist who had written, and I can't remember if it was in the, it was an Atlantic article or if it was New Yorker, something to that effect. And they were just talking about how it's changed how we relate and like the human like mating and breeding rituals and all of that stuff. Because it's like you just make such fast judgments. And if you were in a bar together, you wouldn't dismiss those people so quickly.
I actually have a theory about this.
Which is?
I totally agree with that. I think it's 100% changed how we date. And it's made it so that like, because I'm the kind of person that will, like, I'll go up and talk to anyone in a bar. Like, I'll just start a conversation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And in the past few years, that has not been well received like it used to be.
Really?
Yeah. And I think it's because people now are so, they're not comfortable in like meeting people in real mm-hmm, life anymore. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like behind the like safety net of their phone.
Sure.
And like everyone can be super judgmental and outgoing behind their phone. But in real life, it's like mm-hmm. they're like they don't know how to deal.
Yeah.
And I also think that it's made it so that it's like we have too many options.
Yes, when 100%. Dating. Well, this is exactly what this article was saying, was mm-hmm. the fact that if you were in a bar talking to somebody, it's like, well, there might only be like one other, maybe two other women that a man might be interested in. So it's like, okay, well, I'm going to give this person in front of me like a bit of bigger of a shot
mm-hmm.
versus like, oh no, there's just thousands of people out there. So I can afford to be picky, 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 picky.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's like, I feel like it also has made it so that people, like, if they do start dating someone, they don't try that hard. Like, if anything comes up, like any little thing that's like not perfect, instead of like having a conversation about it or like trying to like figure it out, they're just like, okay, well, screw that. You know, I'll just swipe again. You know, I'll mm-hmm. just swipe on 50 chicks right now. And, you know, I know a lot of dudes that don't even look at what they're swiping on. They just like literally like, they call it power swiping.
Oh, yeah. They don't Isn't even there look. A device that, like, you can hook up to your phone?
Oh, my
I've
God.
Seen this thing where it almost looks like a metronome hand
that will
swipe for you so that you can just say, like, yes, I guess, to everybody, and then you see.
That is shitty. I did not know that was a thing.
Yeah. I don't know where I saw this. I think it might have been, like, somebody posted on Facebook or something, and I was like, ooh.
That's terrifying. And it's so annoying because I know, like, for me, I go back and forth between, like, I'll be like, oh, I'm like swiping,
sure.
and then
yeah.
I'll be like, I can't do this.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And so, like, in the times that I'm swiping, you know, I'll get matches mm-hmm. and then, you know, I'll message them mm-hmm. and then they either unmatch me or they don't respond, or they respond like a few times, but then it fizzles out.
Right.
But I think, you know, if they don't respond, it's like they didn't even look at what they were swiping on. You
yeah.
know, and it's like, it's wasting my time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like on Bumble, like you have to message first, you know, the women have to message first.
Right.
But yeah, I think it's totally screwed up like our entire like dating.
Well, because it's thing. This whole thought of, I think, like disposability, instantaneous stuff, you know, like what's exciting. I mean, I feel like it's all related in terms of even this notion of, on Instagram, like, you, oh, well, once I've posted a photo in this outfit, then it's, like, no good anymore. Like,
mm-hmm.
do you know what I mean? Like, you just swipe through your wardrobe and, like, don't use it again. And you're kind of swiping through people that way. And it's, like, you know, you want what's exciting and flashy. Like, the Instagram story that only lasts for 24 hours. And
mm-hmm.
there's something, like, exciting about matching, right? Because there's that kind of, I'm sure, like, endorphin rush of like, oh yeah, we matched. And then it's like, but it's that now that you have it, it's like not exciting anymore because there isn't a
mm-hmm.
I don't know, I just feel like our brains are getting rewired by this technology faster than we can physically keep up with it.
Mm-hmm. And I do think there are some guys that just want to see how many matches they get, but they're not actually,
I'm sure.
it's just like
an
ego stroke.
I'm sure.
And they're not actually 100%. Interested in like meeting up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're lucky you're married, girl. Oh, listen, every day I'm just like, ooh. It seems like a, I mean, look, dates, I'm not saying dating is terrible. I used to like to go on first dates and, you know,
mm-hmm.
there was like an excitement about that, but I just feel like I wouldn't know how to do it. One, I'm like really bad with technology, so like that's its whole thing. Not to mention that if you can't tell by this point in the podcast, I'm not exactly a smooth person. Like, if you're not ready to go along for a ride for like 50 different segues in directions that you were never supposed to take, like I would not be getting second dates, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. For me, it's like, either I don't even get to the date because they stop responding.
Ugh, jerks.
Or you get to the date and it's just not what you saw in the photo. Or
mm-hmm.
it's just like the personality just isn't there, you know,
right.
which you don't know. And for all those reasons, I love meeting people in person. But people are just like not even open to that anymore.
Huh.
It's really crazy.
Interesting. Well, yeah, because you can, there is a way to, there was, and this wasn't a romantic thing, but it was a group that had gotten together based off of like a UCB class that I had taken.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to like organize kind of like stuff outside of class and like, and make shows and all that stuff. And I was like, man, this guy's like really funny. But then I realized he's actually not funny. He just kept, would like send like gifts. He just knew how to pick like gifts in conversation where I was like, God, he's really funny. I'm like, no, that like Amy Poehler gif is making him seem like he's funnier than he actually is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then in
rather than
life,
somebody
like,
who's witty,
yeah,
and capable of carrying on a conversation and figuring out what we have in common and,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
all of that.
Yeah. Do you have any final thoughts? Anything you want to leave with the people?
About the episode?
Yeah. Or in general. Or in general.
I mean, I don't know. I was like, I thought it was really fun. I was like, this has like renewed my desire to watch multicams.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's also like, just because I'm writing a fair bit these days, just goes to show you how important characters are. You know, mm-hmm, they're so well defined in the chemistry of how a pilot is cast and everything. You just go like, wow. Watching a legendary show like Friends, you just can't help but admire it on so many levels, on a casting, on an acting level, on a writing level.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a smart show.
Yeah.
There's a reason that 25 years later,
yeah,
people are making podcasts about it. See, and back then they didn't even know what a podcast was.
True.
That a podcast would be a thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good. Do you have anything that you want to plug? Anything you want people to check out or follow?
When is this episode going to come out?
Don't know yet.
We don't know.
Don't know yet.
Well, the thing that I know for sure that will be going on is if any of these listeners have young kids, or if you're an adult who likes watching kids cartoons, check out season 2 of Big City Greens on Disney Channel, which will start airing in the fall. If you're going to Comic-Con this summer, come say hi. And yeah, just say hi at Red Harrington, R-E-D-H-E-R-I-N-G-T-O-N on Instagram, and chat me there. No negging.
No negging.
No.
Don't.
I just feel, I'm excited that I learned a new word today.
No, I'm excited.
I'm trying to weave it in. You know, it's like you try and use your Merriam-Webster word of the day. Like, right? Use it. Then you really understand it. I'm going to use negging. I'm going to try and slip it into every conversation.
Let me know how it works out.
Not well, probably. Presumably, it's not going to go great. I can't imagine how. Yeah.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
This was
anytime
a blast.
This was an absolute delight.
Yes, it was. All right, guys, that is it for this episode of I Have No Friends. I'm Leandra Ryan, and remember, no negging. Thanks for listening to I Have No Friends. If you like what you hear, please rate, subscribe, and share it with your friends. If you have feedback, ideas, or suggestions, you can email me at ihavenofriendspodcast@gmail.com. And you can find all my social media handles on my website, leandraryan.com. Looking forward to making some friends.